Okay. I just wanted to really quickly thank this band of ours. They spend so much time. Yeah. Tonight is anything but logical. And I don't mean like it's a story for the stupid. I just mean it just takes another dimension of understanding to grasp the profound nature of Christ and coming as an infant and living as a human being and actually being willing to take it all the way to the cross and being risen. It's just insane. It's the story that we tell this time of year every year. It's almost like it's so good to be true, who could actually make it up? James Canfield, the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, a little reference callback there, he believed that all of life comes down to a simple equation. E plus R equals O. E plus R equals O. What that is that event plus response equals outcome. Again, event plus response equals outcome. Now, here's what I mean. He means by that, and what I mean by that, meaning that events happen to us that are beyond our control, and events happen to us beyond our control all the time. That the majority of our lives are events that happen to us and around us, and we can't manufacture them and we can't control them. Also, on the other hand, outcomes in our lives are often beyond our control. Anybody feel that? But James Canfield talks about this idea that the only thing we can control in our lives are our responses. Our response to all the events and all the outcomes in our lives. Our proclamation tonight is that an event took place in a village called Bethlehem. Matthew 1:21 says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So that's the event that we gather around. It's what we talk about. It's the story we tell this evening every single year. But there's an outcome to it as well. Now, if you look at the other side of Canfield's equation, that for every event, there's also an outcome, the outcome of the event is that Messiah, the Christ born in a manger, that Christ was born for the world. And God came in flesh and walked among his image bearers. And the outcome of that event, the end result of that event, is something we call salvation or rescue or healing or redemption. That outcome, that salvation, is offered to whoever will humble themselves and receive it. That God refuses to cram grace down our throats. But he invites us into a relationship. He invites us into a journey because the outcome is simply this. He will save his people from their sins. From all that disrupts shalom. You know, the things that are supposed to be he wants us to experience. Like all the things that we're, all the shalom that we're supposed to experience in ourselves, with others, and with God. So this baby wasn't born simply to be a symbol of cuteness and a Hallmark, you know, moment. He was born eventually to bear the weight of the world's brokenness. And that was the ultimate purpose of the event. And yet, many still question whether that outcome is true and whether we truly need rescue and whether Jesus even offers it. Like, throughout history, this has been the topic of debate. Some even deny that the event even occurred. Right? Or claiming that the idea of God being born in a livestock manger, that's crazy, right? Is nothing more than a myth passed down by religion. That's one of the claims. And we can question the outcome, and we can even question the event. But here's, let's just entertain an idea for a moment tonight. Like, what if the birth of Christ actually happened? Like, what if the event was real and not just a story? And what if this event, that there's truth to the idea that we needed salvation from outside of ourselves? We needed something beyond ourselves to rescue us from our own brokenness. If the event and the outcome are true, then the key question in the equation is, what is our response? What's your response? This is crucial. What is your response to the story we recount every Christmas Eve? So throughout Luke's gospel, this is the great part, there's tons of responses. There's like responses all over the place. And it's from people just like you and I, from people from different socioeconomic backgrounds, from different nationalities, from different parts of the world. And the Gospels record very different responses to the event and to the outcome. That's why I feel drawn to Scripture, because it's like really full of honesty. It's not like everybody was like, oh, okay, I'll believe. It was like there's people wrestling with this. Mary treasures this. Zechariah doubts. Elizabeth rejoices. Herod scoffs. Joseph obeys. The shepherds gather. The Magi journey. And on and on and on and on. And ever since that day, every human soul who has ever been born for 2,000 years is invited to respond to the event. Christ. So what's our response? How do we receive him? Do you reject him? Are you open to the story? Or are you closed? Or are you disinterested? Do you seek a deeper relationship with Jesus, or are you content showing up and singing some songs? Right? Whether or not you respond to the claim of Christ's birth tonight, the story of Christmas makes one thing really, really clear. God has already responded to you. The outcome is already there. So God desires you so much that he wrapped himself in flesh and came into this world in the humility of a child. A child born 2,000 years ago, he would grow up and he would self-identify with phrases like the way. And he would call himself the truth and the life. And he would call himself the light. And he would call himself the good shepherd or the bread of heaven. Or the resurrection and the vine and the door. Yeah, the door. The door doesn't get a lot of pub. Doesn't get a lot of marketing. People are like, you know the door, right? Nobody talks about the door, but don't overlook the door. There's a door in Bethlehem, and it's at the Church of the Nativity. And here's a picture of it. Now, this blows me away because the door is only 4 feet high. So to actually gain entrance into the place where Christ is born, you have to bow down. Now, I think it's fascinating. The Ottomans built the facade of this place a long time ago, and they didn't build it with theology in mind. They built it so that horses couldn't go into the church. It's a true story. But metaphorically, I think it's so cool. And I wonder if it's a picture of what it takes to prepare a human heart for the kind of posture it would really take to receive what Jesus offers. By the way, the door has a name. It's called the door of humility. If we were to find God on this earth, we must be willing to come low, like children, like childlike faith and wonder. God is not to be found in the midst of our egos, but he hides himself among the humble. And from the poor shepherds to the wealthy magi, the way to find what our souls are searching for isn't to rise up with our intelligence and our pride. It's to bow down in humility and surrender. Because it's there that our eyes are really opened. And for those of us that will receive it, hear this. Your faith, your trust is not born from understanding. True understanding is born from trust, from faith. And blessed are those who bow down before the Christ child this evening, for you will see and rejoice. So tonight we proclaim the event that took place 2,000 years ago, that Christ is born, and we believe the outcome of this event is true, that those who receive him by faith will know healing from God. So we have the event, and we have the outcome, and the one question remains, how will you respond? It's the only part of the equation that you have control over. It's the only part. Will you go on a spiritual journey like the Magi, or will you doubt even for a little while like Zechariah? Will you treasure the mystery with Mary, or will you scoff, push it off like Herod? See, we're like the shepherds that are gathering to glimpse the story that has changed the world. So tonight, I don't want to leave you with a concept. I don't want to leave you with a doctrine. I want to leave you with a picture. Jesus says, I'm the door. And that's precisely what we're called to do before the Christ. A door. So I'm going to invite our band up. And I'm going to pray, and I just want you to take a minute to just think about where you are. What's your response? Father, we bring ourselves to you tonight. And in humble adoration, we present ourselves as those that want more of you. God, would you gift us with humility that we would see clearly who you are and what you're doing in this world? Amen.